Take your Bibles now and turn to Hebrews chapter 13, please. Hebrews chapter 13, and we will end up in our study, the series, Building Below the Baseline. Might mention this, next week we'll start lessons in the book of Ephesians, and it'll be a series entitled Be Rich. That sounds good, doesn't it? Be rich. And it won't be just in money, but it'll be a good series from the book of Ephesians. So I'd encourage you maybe to read through that, and then we'll be teaching through the book of Ephesians as we go through that. We do want you to please be in prayer, as Brother Temp mentioned, for Dean Wimberly family. Dean went home to be with the Lord last night. What a day he had. He mowed this churchyard Friday. And then yesterday he went out on visitation, church visitation, and led someone to Christ. And then he came back home and watched Alabama play. That's his favorite team always. And they actually won. And then he went to heaven. So it was not a bad day altogether, but it's tough for the family. And so pray for Allison and pray for Jonathan and Meredith, their two children. And more information will be coming about it. It seems like it most likely was a heart attack. More than likely it's what it was, or a blood clot. All right, our lesson today is on contentment. Contentment. So let's look at these two verses, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation, verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. That's a strong order, isn't it? And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. If we're not careful, these will be some of the things that cause hidden cracks in the foundation, that which is below the baseline that other people maybe don't see. And the storms will come and hit that, and if we're not prepared, we'll pay the price, and the foundation or our lives will crumble. You remember the story in Matthew 7, 24 through 27 about the wise man and the foolish man. And the scripture says there, wise man which built his house upon a rock. All the storms came and everything, and it fell not, because he was a wise man built on the right foundation, the right rock. And, of course, the other man, the rains came, and he was a foolish man, likened to a foolish man. Floods came, beat on the house, and it fell. Didn't have the right foundation. So we've got to have the right foundation. We've got to keep anything from disturbing are cracking that foundation, or we will pay the price for it. So we're either building like the wise men, or we are building like the unwise men below the baseline. One of the things that destroys the foundation of our faith and all is the problem of being discontented. Probably there are very few people in the world today that aren't a little bit discontent, and many of us have the tendency, it's a natural tendency, to complain. We complain about the temperature of the water at the drinking fountain. We complain about the heat. Not in Texas, do we? We never complain about politics. There's no end to really what we can find in our lives to complain about. I mean, it's all around us. And so some people complain about their spouse, all of those things that are not good things. But we have a problem with contentment. We're not content like we should be. So contentment, somebody has said, is referred to as a rare jewel. If somebody's content, they're a rare person, a rare jewel. And of course, contentment demands discipline in our lives. If we're going to be content, we have to have discipline in our lives. And the sad thing is we have in our culture today, and we've had it for years, the Me Too philosophy. It's me. It's me. And me first mindset. More for me is better for me. All of that in our culture. And it affects our culture. We're seeing the bad results of it today. And it has to do with perversion. A lot of the violence is all about that. Political scandals that we're seeing go on. And family breakups. So many different things could be mentioned. But basically, so much of it goes back to not being content. And the reason so many people aren't is they don't know the Lord. And that is one of the real problems. And so whenever that's the case, then we become obsessed with self. It's so easy to be obsessed with self. A lot of marriages are ruined because the husband becomes discontented and angry about it. And then maybe the wife becomes discontent with her husband. Some people, I've seen people, and this is not always the case. Sometimes you have no choice, the company moves you. But I've seen a lot of people move and take jobs, and it would take them different places, take them out of the church. Because they were discontent instead of staying and being there and doing what God told them to do. I remember when I was in seminary, I was teaching a class at Friendly Lane Baptist Church in Haltom City. And there was a man in my class that had a business, air conditioning and so on and so forth, and was doing very well in that business. And he came to me one day and said, "Well, I'm taking another job and I won't be in Sunday school. It'd be tough for me to be in Sunday school." And I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" He said, "I'll be over all of that type thing, over the Will Rogers Coliseum and all of those facilities." But he quit coming to church, and money was more important. He took that job, and then tragedy came as a result. I tried to kindly warn him and tell him some of those things, but his mind was made up. He wanted that money. A lot of people change jobs and all of that. They're unsettled, discontent. Some people live with what I would call constant jealousy, unhappiness. They just hadn't found their contentment, as I said earlier, in the Lord. You got to find your contentment in the Lord. And so some of these things are not seen on the surface. Some of your close friends would not know that this might be going on in your heart, but we need to grow beyond and below the baseline. So in our text, in verses 5 through 6, it gives us three ways here in Hebrews 13, three ways to build contentment. Number one in your outline, build contentment by rejecting covetousness. Build contentment by rejecting covetousness. I think that's the word for your blank there. Covetousness comes easily if we're honest about it. A lot of times, without our even realizing that we're being covetous, and even if we do realize it, we have a wonderful way of excusing it and to pass it on. Yet God calls us to reject that. God says, reject it. In your outline, in our lifestyles. In our lifestyles, rejected. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Let your lifestyle. And that's one of the last of the Ten Commandments, or the last of them, that gives the same principle. In Exodus chapter 20, in verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservants, nor his maidservants, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Of course, he's talking about that framework of that time eloquent back then. These were the things that were important to people then. Now it's cars and houses and boats and campers and all of that. And nothing wrong if they're done in the right way, in the right place, and you don't spend your tithe on them. But at any rate, there's a marketing mentality out there. Boy, do they ever do a good job on television. I'm telling you, they advertise and advertise and advertise. And if you watch two or three of them in a row, you'll think, man, I'm so depressed. I don't have any of those things. I've got to get them. How am I going to be happy if I don't have something that's an automatic dog washer or something like that? How in the world am I going to be happy if I don't have something like that? And so there's a media blitz, and the thing that it does is creates discontentment in our hearts. We see it with our eyes, we hear it, and we say, I've got to have that. And a lot of times we get it, and about a month later it's out in the garage somewhere. But especially health equipment, right? Any kind of health equipment. And people try to give it away and can't even give it away. Benjamin Franklin said this. He said, discontentment makes rich men poor, while contentment makes poor men rich. Discontentment makes rich men poor, while contentment makes poor men rich. And I've observed people from both categories, and I can tell you that's the truth. That is true. It's a biblical principle. They did a survey a number of years ago, U.S. World News and World Report, and they asked people this question: how much more money would you need to fulfill what you would call the American dream? How much more money would you need? And practically every one of them that answered, it came in the category of they needed twice as much as what they had. Why do we think we need twice as much as what we have? And that was a result of that survey among a number of people, just to ask them, what would you need to fulfill the American dream? About twice what they already had. A pilot was flying over some land that he loved, and he would always look down at it and intently stare down, and the co-pilot wondered what was going on. And he said to him one day, what's so interesting to you down there? What is it? He said, well, you see that stream down there? When I was a kid, I used to be down there fishing, and I'd see airplanes going over, and I would wish I was in the airplane. He said, now I'm flying over there in the airplane, I wish I was down there fishing. And that's about right, isn't it? And so anyway, we are easily discontented and as people. So whether it's our appearance, we get a little discontented with that, our career maybe, or our circle of friends, or the opportunities that we are given or not given, and all of that, we get a little bit discontent. And you know, the devil has convinced us if we had another person's family and wealth and looks and possessions, we'd probably be satisfied. But that's not true. God wants us to be content, listen now, with Him. God wants us to be content with Him. That doesn't mean God doesn't want you to improve your situation if you can, but not let it be the main thing. The main thing is to be content with God. Be satisfied with God. Content with Him alone. Martha Washington said, the greater part of our happiness, our misery, depends upon our disposition and not our circumstances. Isn't that true? Let me read that again. The greatest part of our happiness, our misery, depends upon our dispositions and not upon our circumstance. It's our mindset, our disposition, how we deal with those things. And all we have, if you'll think about it, is fleeting and could be taken away from us any moment. I mean, any moment. I remember I had a couple of millionaires in one time. Tom Raper, who had the largest RV dealership in the Midwest, he was about 20 miles from where I pastored. And then another millionaire was from here in Texas. And I had them in for our stewardship conference and had them give our their testimonies and tell how God had blessed them and all. And this one man had a large trucking company, and both of them, I remember, they had Rolex watches. And we were eating out, and one of them said, "You know, I was fishing the other day and almost lost my Rolex." And he said, "Boy, I'm glad I didn't lose that." And I thought, "Man, I'm glad you didn't either. But I could lose my Timex. It wouldn't make much difference. Or my Mickey Mouse watch. It wouldn't matter." But one of those guys, within 2 months, I would say about two, not over 3 months, something happened in his business. He invested a lot of money in oil well drilling and some of the stuff that had not been tried before, and he lost all of his fortune. Just boom, like that. And so I guess he made some of it back, but I'm just telling you, it can go any moment. 1 Timothy 6:17, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Proverbs 23:4-5, "Labor not to be rich." Proverbs 23:4-5, "Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eye upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." Most of us have seen them fly away, haven't we? I mean, there they go again. And but God takes care of us. So we got to find our contentment where? In God alone. I mean, really, in God alone. And it begins where? It begins in the heart. That's where it really begins, is in our heart. We reject contentment sometimes in our hearts. It's not a matter of possessions, but it's a matter of your heart. Knowing God is sovereign. How many of us believe God is sovereign? What do we mean by that? That he is ruling over everything, including the details of your life. God is sovereign. And so when we understand that God is sovereign, then we understand that everything is under his control and everything is in control. May not be what we want, but God knows about it. And we step out of God's will sometimes to chase our covetousness. And the results are not good. 1 Timothy 6:9-10. "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money," not money, but the love of money, "is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows." That's what I was talking about, that man that took that business and left God out of his life, and left the church out of his life. Sometimes it plays out in what we might call a career choice. This is sort of a re-mentioning of what has already been said. But we want more money, more money, more money. And I've seen people pull out of church just to get it. And they paid the price. Jesus reminded the disciples, and he was always teaching them, that our lives are not the sum total. Our lives are not the sum total. It's more than the sum total of what we possess. Our lives are more than that. Luke 12:15, "And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And yet we so many times think it does. And our lives sometimes revolve around possessions. And we let the possessions control our lives. And so that's not a good thing. I'll stick it in my pocket. It'll be handy. We allow that to happen. And so that's what he's warning us about right here. Don't let possessions do that. And it indicates covetousness. If you let possessions control you. Too many illustrations. I better pass on that one. So build contentment by rejecting covetousness. Number two, build contentment by remaining content. By remaining content. Look at verse 5 again. And be content with such things as you have. You say, that's too simple. Well, it is a simple choice. That's what it is. It's a choice you make. You just like if you want to do something else, you make the choice to do it or not to do it. And you make a simple choice. To be content means to be satisfied. And that's what he's talking about, to be content. And that's a choice that we make. And then we find our gratitude as we look and see what God has done for us. My, what has God done for you? He saved our souls, forgave us of our sins if you're born again. And he gave his son, the best heaven had, to die for us, pay our sin debt, to cover our sins. Thank God for that. And so if we will have the right kind of gratitude. Paul, and we always go back to Paul, he had so many problems. He had so many deprivations when he preached the gospel. But he said in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, even if it's Texas. No, that's not in the original language, no. Not that I speak in respect of want, Paul said. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith be content. Run through your mind what all Paul went through. Prison after prison after prison, shipwreck, beatings, name it. And he said, I've learned to be content, content. One reason there's so much credit card debt, let's meddle a little bit, is because people are discontent. They're discontent. And so they go out and buy something that they can't afford and put it on the credit card and pay 24% interest or whatever it is so they can impress people that don't care what they have. You know, your relatives don't care, and most of your friends probably don't care. They're glad if God blesses you, but sometimes all of this contentment, all it does is bring people under bondage. Believe me, I've counseled people over those 50 years of pastoring who got themselves behind the eight ball financially, and there just seemed like there was no way to get out from behind it. But here's the problem. Some of them didn't even want to work on it. Thank God for those who realize it and turn it over to God and work it out and keep going, and they can get out of that mess, and then God can bring them back out of that bondage. So there are two very good reasons why a Christian can always be content. A, in your outline, because God has provided in the past. Think of that. God has provided in the past, hasn't he? That's true in our lives. We worry about tomorrow's problems, but if we just look back, and I've got 79 years, I can look back and see how God brought me through problem after problem after problem and storm after storm and difficulty after difficulty. We look back, we're reminded that God has always provided, always. Most of you look like you hadn't missed a meal, I tell you. I know I haven't. Reminded that God has always provided. Psalm 37:25, I have been young. That's a long time ago. And now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. Amen. Nor his seed begging bread. See, God takes care of it. If they say now, it may be a little higher than this illustration, but if you make over $35,000 in a year, you're in the richest 1% of the people in the world. If you make over that. And the global median salary is just over, believe it or not, $1,200. The global median salary. So God does take care of us, and he does provide. he takes care of widow ladies, doesn't he? I felt for some of our widow ladies and their losses. But then I'm reminded about Elijah and a woman that was a widow woman. And can you imagine the preacher saying, give me what you got. And then, but the barrel never went dry and so on and so forth. The oil, the cruse never went dry and the barrel never was empty. All of that, God took care. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. You know what worry is? Worry is a thief that robs you of contentment. Don't worry about your future. Who's got your future in his hands? Me? Not on your life. Aren't you glad? Now, I'm glad you don't have my future in your hands, but I'm glad he has my future in his hands. He does. And so worry is a thief that robs you of contentment. Remain content. God provided for the past. And then because God will provide for our future. Hebrews 13, 5, verse 5. For he has said, not the preacher has said or some other person has said, but he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that good? God said, I won't ever leave you. I will never forsake you. That's good. Too many illustrations. But one time, Dr. Barber and Ms. Barber and two of my staff workers, big guys, much bigger and taller than me, and we were eating in Louisville, Kentucky. We were there for a conference, and there was a table right near ours, and right next to it, and they were using every kind of vile, vulgar language you could imagine. And it was just irritating me, and Ms. Barber was the only lady around. She was eating with us, and they were there. And finally, I got tired of it. And I turned around and said to the man, sir, we have a lady here, and your conversation is despicable. And we would like for you to clean it up so we can talk. And so it got quiet. And we finished, and we started up to the register a little bit. This is so funny what the guy said. We started up to the register, and Dr. Barber said to me, that man's coming. He's coming up here. And he's a pretty big man. He got up and started coming to the register. And my two big staff workers left, went down the hall. And there was little Miss Barber, and Dr. Barber was standing there. And he comes up, and I don't know what's going to happen. And he said, sir, you're right. He said, I'm the vice president of Pepsi Cola Company. Wow. In a whole regional area. And he said, and I'm a Baptist. And he said, I thought, yeah. And he said, I am ashamed of myself, and please forgive me. And ma'am, you please forgive me. Wow. And I said, thank you, sir, you're forgiven. But what I was saying was, God will never leave you, but staff workers might sometimes. I got on those guys. I said, don't you ever leave me when some big guy's coming at me, you two turkeys. So the greatest provision God can give is his presence. And that's what he gives. He wants to do that. Be content with Jesus alone. And that promise extends to us. We've got to hurry up here. We won't talk about the stock market or whatever, but the recipe for contentment, jot these verses down, Matthew 6, 30 through 33. That's a great recipe for contentment, where God says, if he so clothe the grass of the field, so on and so forth. You're familiar with that. But the number one concern, what should be your number one concern in life? Your mate, your children, your grandchildren, or what should be your number one concern in life? According to the Bible, it should be to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek what God wants us to do. Seek first the kingdom of God. And so we ought to be asking really every day, be consumed with this thought, Lord, what would you have me to do today? Get up of a morning, and before you're up very long, just say, Lord, I come to you, I yield my heart to you. What will you have me to do today? And he'll show you. God's promises do not fail. 1 Kings 8:56, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant." So build contentment by rejecting covetousness. Build contentment by remaining content. And then lastly, build contentment by renewing confidence. By renewing confidence. The devil does not want us to be victorious. He wants to defeat us. But God wants us to know we belong to him. We belong to God. We don't belong to the devil. 1 John 4:4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Well, who's in you? The Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. And you know that demons cannot control and possess a truly born-again believer. They can harass us to some degree. They cannot control us. And so, we want to have confidence. If you're going to have some building done and you bring a welder in and you got some welding to do, and he said, "Where'd you get your experience?" He said, "I went online the other day and watched a video, and I think I got this thing down. And so let's get with it." I don't think you'd have a lot of confidence in him. I know I wouldn't. But we've got to have confidence in whom? God. Confidence in God and God's abilities, and that'll bring us a lot of contentment. So here are two of God's characteristics very quickly. Two of God's characteristics to give us confidence. A, in your outline there, by remembering his presence. By remembering his presence. Hebrews 13:5-6. "For he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say," we can boldly say, "the Lord's my helper." Isn't that good? Hey, who's your helper? The Lord's my helper. Is he your helper? He is. If we're saved, we need to realize and recognize that. God is always present. Sometimes even when we intend to fulfill our promises, circumstances keep us from that and we can't control it. But God never has that problem. He's always able to be present. Titus 1:2, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." So we're to come how? Boldly. That means confidently before him. And then the word helper here in Hebrews 13:6, the Greek word means to cry out and to run. And God hears and helps us when we cry out to him. The three Hebrew children were in the fiery furnace, and God was with them, wasn't he? And we may face some big problems and nothing like that perhaps, but big to us. So his presence. And then by remembering his provision in verse 6, "I will not fear what man shall do unto me." You know, it's great. We can cry out to the Lord from anywhere in the world. Doesn't matter where we are. I've had the privilege of traveling a lot of places in the world. And I remember riding about midnight one night over in Israel, and we were going down to the Dead Sea. And it was so quiet and there wasn't any lights anywhere. And I was just thinking about God, and I thought, you know, here I am way over here, and I don't have to be in my little office. I can talk to God right here. And I prayed to God and talked to him. The psalmist said it this way, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." From the end of the earth, when my heart is overwhelmed, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." That's Jesus. "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." In James 1:17, we have to realize that every good gift in our lives comes from God, comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, no shadow of turning. So he invites us to trust his power and his promises to carry out our needs. So Paul said in Philippians 4:11 these words, "I have learned." It's a learning process, but we need to learn pretty quickly. "I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." You know why? He wasn't depending on his circumstances. He was depending on the Lord to make him content. So I wonder if we're building contentment in our lives like that. And then back in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, he tells us reject covetousness. Choose, it's a choice. Choose, you have to choose it. It's a discipline. Choose contentment. And then renew your confidence in God. And that'll be a good thing to do. All right, our next lessons will be in Ephesians. I hope you'll read that through that book. And we'll be teaching that on Be Rich, a series on Be Rich. Let's pray. Father, you are our contentment. We love you and thank you for loving us, for all you do and for all your promises and for all that we can do to depend on you and trust you and know you're there. And Father, thank you for these verses in the Bible that reminds us that we need to be content and we just need to trust you and keep our minds and hearts focused on you and not let this world get a hold of us and not let some kind of discontentment that Satan puts in our minds or hearts to disturb us, but to serve you faithfully, do all that we can do, maybe to improve our lot, but to not fret or worry or feel left out or be people who are covetous of other people's situations. Help us to be content with you, Father, and Jesus, our beloved Savior. In his name we pray, amen. Amen.